only the DC TV news, you have Blue Beetle trailer, and then can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All so right. The new only news we have is the Blue Beetle trailer and Adventures of Superman and Lois.
Mm-hmm. I think that's correct.
Sounds good. All right. Welcome back to Ladies with Gumption, episode 207, where we recap DC TV in a flash. We are the Ladies with Gumption. Failed to mention that. I'm May, and I'm here with
Tatiana
and Jessica.
This episode is called Time Thief. Typically, you can contact us over at ladieswgumption@gmail.com, ladieswgumption.tumblr.com. Follow along with our live tweets at DC TV Gumption on Twitter. Listen to all of our podcasts at Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. We also have a Patreon if you wish to support us, patreon.com/DCTVGumption, where we talk about HBO Max premium shows, we talk about anything in the MCU-verse, we talk about popular Netflix series. We recently did You, Season 4, and upcoming, we're going to do Yellow Jackets and The Last of Us. So if you're into listening to us talk about anything that's not DCTV related, join us over at Patreon. Over in the news, we had the Blue Beetle trailer finally drop. I watched it on mute. I thought it was very exciting. What did y'all think?
You know what? I don't know why I thought that this was coming out later or whatever. So I was like pleasantly surprised, first of all, that it's coming out this year. And then I was also just really surprised by the trailer and how fun it looked. I think it looks like it's gonna be a fun family kind of movie. I noticed, like, if any of you guys are anime fans, like when Jaime creates like a sword, it's like Ichigo's Zangetsu from Bleach. It's like this huge like orange sword, so it's like really cool. I think the character design of the suit looks great. The only kind of weird thing is the voice, because the voice is like a Alexa or a Siri, like, you know, computer feminine animated voice. And I just, that's not the voice that I associate with Blue Beetle. So, I mean, that was a little weird, but other than that, I think it's gonna be a really cool movie.
Tati, do you have thoughts?
I mean, I think it also, I think it looks fun. I agree with everything Jessica said. The only thing I would add to that is that I do think it's weird that it's not in El Paso. I kind of understand. Palmera City is what they show, which is, Palmera, I mean, City, yeah, it's like some fictional, like, I'm sure it's, I get that it's like, make it fictional because most DC things are set in fictional places, but at the very least, make it the equivalent of El Paso if you're going to make something up. Not like, because it looks like, you know, Los Angeles or something. Like, it just looks like a beach city. Mm. And I was like, that's a bit weird, because El Paso is not that. So, whatever. But that's not a big deal. Overall, the characters look fun. Zolo Madrigueña, Cholo Madrigueña, whatever your name, I'm so sorry. Your name, not man. He's great. You know, everyone's like, oh my god, he's such a star in Cobra Kai. So, I don't watch Cobra Kai, but I believe him. And I look forward to Blue Beetle, and I hope it does well. I mean, I see that the trailer has 15 million views in 4 days, so hopefully that means people are excited.
I think so. I saw quite a little bit of buzz on Twitter, so that in and of itself is exciting, because I feel like people are wanting something fresh and different, right. And it's a nice change of pace from, like, the Batmans and Supermans we've gotten from the DCU in general. Speaking of Superman, we do have a new animated series called The Adventures of Superman and Lois. I think this was announced a couple of years ago, and it was originally supposed to be on Cartoon Network, but I believe it was also meant to be on HBO Max at some point. And then now it's on Adult Swim, but it's coming out soon. They released a trailer for that. It looks very cute, and it's also exciting to see new iterations of Superman, Lois, and the crew. Any thoughts on that?
It's kind of interesting that you said it's like moving to Adult Swim, because that means that it's like a, you know, it's not at least, like, you know, I feel like it should be at least like PG-13 ish if it's moving to Adult Swim Cartoon Network. So that's interesting. And I feel like you don't really get a lot from the trailer. It's like a nice little intro, but you don't really get as much of the vibe. So it's kind of just like a little teaser. So that'll be interesting to see, like, what it actually looks like. I like the animation of it. So, yeah, I'd be interested to see, like, what the vibe is when it comes out.
Yeah, and my bad, it's My Adventures with Superman. Yeah. Oops. So that's what it is. And yes, it will be on Adult Swim, which I think is interesting too, because I feel like that was a last minute decision. But maybe if it's renewed for season two, it could be a little bit more PG-13R-ish.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, PG-13, but if like an older audience as opposed to like Cartoon Network, which is like, I mean, it's not like Teen Titans Go, which is like Cartoon Network. So I get like the distinction between that. That is different from that. Yeah.
Yes, so now we will get into the meat of our episode, where we will discuss the latest episode of The Flash, our joys, no joys, and our feedback, leave gumption of the week, and to take us away on this adventure is the lovely Jessica. We can't hear you. You're on mute.
Can we hear me now?
Yes, there you go. Okay.
As I was going to say, if you haven't noticed, by now I am a little sick. I've been having lots of adventures in Brazil, and I had too much fun and a little bit under the weather, but I'm going to get you through this flash recap of Partners in Time. So basically, the synopsis is like, you know, stuck in the past, racing towards the future. Those are the two different perspectives that we're dealing with Barry and Iris. In the beginning of this episode, Barry is starting to prepare for Nora's arrival 7 months early by building her a crib and stocking the freezer full of ice cream, which she probably won't eat until she's like the way great. Is there a lot of feedback and like noise in the background?
I hear people talking, yeah.
Yes, I hear people talking, but not anymore. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh, they're back.
Part of his dad prep checklist is a mold inspection of Star Labs to make sure it's safe. However, since Star Labs has somehow gotten away with not alerting any government authorities that it hasn't been inspected in over 9 years, a simple mold inspection turns into like a full-scale event. So all these different inspectors come. But one of these inspectors is not like the others, and one of these inspectors just doesn't belong. And this leads to unexpected time numbers. Barry and Iris have to figure out who is the imposter and how to get back to their own reality and reset the timeline. Meanwhile, Chester is at the West House, the Legra, playing board games, as all young adult couples do, and blurts out that he's in love with Legra, and Legra makes it weird. And then she makes it even weirder. She doesn't really say that she loves him back. She's kind of like, has this like weird, like, oh, kind of face. And then she makes it even weirder when Cecile gets there by trying to hide behind Cecile and force her to join in their Rainier games and avoid the whole love topic altogether. Chester finally decides, like, this is, like, too awkward even for me, so I'm going to leave and let you just, you know, figure out what you're going to do. And so Allegra admits to Cecile that she does love Chester, but she's scared because people that she loves always, like, dies or something happens to them. So Cecile's like, that's stupid. Like, you should live in the moment. And, you know, like, what are you going to do? Like, not love anybody ever because something bad happened? That's dumb. So she convinces Allegra to live in the moment. And Allegra goes to Jitters, apologizes to Chester. She's like, I love you too. And then they're good. Blah, blah, blah. Back at Star Labs, Wes Allen are at a loss because, like, people are, you know, their time period dress is changing. People are disappearing. Barry is frustrated because he tried running to the future because he thought that would work, which it never does, which why did he even try? While Iris admits that she's kind of been stuck in the past and afraid of having a baby to change her life, and she's, you know, got pregnancy brain and all this stuff is happening. She doesn't know how to deal with it. So Barry kind of gives her some support, and they kind of agree to you know, slow down and take things one at a time. And both of them actually live in the present instead of being in the past or the future. While they're having this talk, they kind of realize something that I think they should have realized like 20 minutes ago, which is that the electrician that doesn't know what a breaker box is probably is a time thief. Which she reveals herself as Lady Kronos and explains that she stole a time magnet from 2123, but it's pretty unstable. And so she needs help to kind of stabilize it. She doesn't want to let the time magnet go, but she wants to stop time from being erased and her being erased. So they argue about, you know, letting it go versus not letting it go. And I don't think like they pinpoint when she actually agrees to let it go, but she does. Mm-hmm. So Barry charges like her belt and she agrees to put it back, even though she knows she'll get arrested and everything goes back to normal. Case closed, blah, blah, blah. And then in the third plot, Kyung is nervous because Carla wants to meet her. And she's like, well, what if Carla wants me to be someone that I'm not? And like walks away from me the same way that Mark did. And Barry's like, well, Carla's not a creep, so she just wants to get to know you. She's not Mark. So she's like, okay. And it turns out that he's totally fine. So that was great. And then somehow she is close enough, like she's talking to Wes Allen about like her experience, and she's like, you know what, Iris, I know you're starving, but let's help him have dinner. And they go out to dinner together. So basically, like, Kyun is like Wes Allen's best friend now. The end. This episode was written by Sarah Tarkoff and Joshua B. Gilbert and directed by Ed Freeman. What sparked joy?
Well, I will say that it sparked joy to get to see Barry and Iris together and enjoying themselves in a more lighthearted adventure that's a little bit of a mystery, a little bit of a whodunit. That part was all fun. Loved Iris's look the whole episode. Loved that she got to open up about her, you know, fears or concerns about pregnancy and parenthood. And that Barry was very supportive. We don't often, or actually, I guess we have been getting them more, but you know, it's kind of spotty in terms of when Iris really gets to share her thoughts and Barry actually, or someone is actually like receptive to them and is like, hey, I understand this is going on with you and I want you to feel better about it, et cetera. So that part was all good. The part where like the agents, the inspectors like start like changing costumes and stuff was fun. Also when he gets turned into the Statue of David, at that point, before they said he was dead, that part was fun. And then he was, like, undead, so, like, whatever, it didn't matter. aside from that, I will say this is probably the most tolerable I have found Allegra and Chester in a long while. I thought this was, like, a very basic rom-com, teen drama-esque plot that they might have where the first person, where someone says they love you for the first time and the other person is scared, but of course it's not because they don't love them, it's because they do love them and they don't want to lose them. Like, so that was very whatever, but you know, they did it well. Allegra looked so good all episode. I was like, wow, she looks so pretty, that's so crazy. Of course Chester loves her. What else? Kyon just still having mind reading powers and everyone at this point just being like, let me just not even, do I even care to ask why? No, it's fine. We're just going to go with it. Excellent. At this point, let's not even ask any more questions. And that is all I have for you.
Well, that was beautiful. I also really like this episode in the sense that like Barry and Iris just being comedians the entire time, getting to just have fun with the material. The guest stars were fun and memorable. It's been while since like we've had people who are just kind of like going with the flow and willing to, you know, be comedians with the cast. I called one of the inspectors, the lady who was like the Tina Fey, she looks a lot like Tina Fey. So she was just kind of like really funny, and it was really fun to watch her kind of look at Barry. It's like, I want to, you know, check up on your biochemistry or whatever. And Iris is like, excuse me?
The bombastic side eye.
Yes, it was beautiful. I love that. I still love the fact that, like, she doesn't know Star Trek from Star Wars. Always hilarious. just little things like that that really made the interactions with the main cast and the guest stars really fun, because we don't really get too much of that anymore. Because the plot was like not bad, like it was very obvious who the time thief was, but I still enjoyed like all the general suspicion that everybody had for each other. It's like, maybe it was you. No, maybe it was you. Maybe you did it. All this other stuff. And of course, like the big whodunit reveal was funny, when I was like, yes, we know it was you. The plot was very thin. I love the conversations between Barry and Iris, just like being domestic and seeing their bedroom again. We haven't seen that since like 9-1. Barry building Nora's crib. Iris, you know, having ice cream cravings, and Barry, and both of them kind of being like the best spouses anybody could ever ask for. Like Iris hunting down the magazine Henry was on the cover of, even though like Barry told her about it 6 months ago. She's finally like a superior gift giver. And Barry also like getting her as much ice cream as she wants and being supportive. And I love the fact that like we address the idea of whenever he needs answers, he like runs to the future, and whenever, you know, she's feeling like anxious, it's always her thinking about the past, and the idea that they should just kind of be in the present moment and enjoy everything that comes at them now rather than thinking about what could have been and everything else. But I do like the fact that like Iris got to address her changing body and like having pregnancy brain and being tired and kind of like not really being prepared for all the changes that would be coming by having Nora. But she's, you know, it was nice that she's like, I won't regret this. It's just like, it sucks also, which is a very womanly thing to say. So yeah, all of that was really great.
Very womanly.
Yes. What else? I like that Chilegra's issue was resolved. I do agree that Allegra looked very pretty this episode. I don't know if it's like nice lip gloss, her hair, I'm not sure, but at least like she was able to address
the off the shoulder shirt.
Yeah, that was, yeah, really nice.
That too, yeah. She was, yeah, a fashionista.
But I do like the fact that like she was able to realize like why she was freaking out over Chester saying I love you, and it wasn't just because like she didn't actually feel the same way, it was just her own issues from the past. So it was like a generally enjoyable episode, even though the plot was just kind of like whatever.
Yeah, I thought it was, and it was like cute. So I know that, you know, Grant said that it was one of his top three episodes of the season, and I kind of feel that it had to be, you know, due to like the new one, it being like a contained episode with him and Candace, but also the actors that were the inspectors, like kind of like working through that. It was probably a lot of fun. They probably had a lot of like improv in there. I agree with like the Star Wars thing. So it's just like, she's just trying, and it's just never, one day it'll be Star Wars, baby. Like one day.
Star today. Trek or Star Wars?
She keeps saying Star Wars, but it's
Star Trek. But it's Star Trek. Okay, seriously.
Okay. Yeah.
She's like, one day she'll get it right.
one day she will get it right. But not today. So that was really cute. I agree. First of all, sorry, Barry, like the crib. I get what you're trying to do, the purple and the yellow, but the crib was like, it's not cute.
It's for effort. Yellow's just not a good crib color. Maybe like a light lavender, no. You know.
And even, I know like purple and yellow are like complementary colors, but just that was not, you know. It didn't match their bedroom decor.
Which is just, their bedroom is just wild, man. They have like a whole set in there. I'm like, why do you even go to the living room? Just stay in the bedroom. It's so big and beautiful and nicely decorated.
But it was, yeah, it was nice how excited he is for it, and the fact that he like stocked, like, why, you know, who else would stock the freezer for ice cream for a baby? Like, she might not have ice cream, she's 23 anyway. But I like how supportive he is, and, you know, wanting to like run to Coast City to get Iris to get ice cream. I like how kind of whiny Iris is, like pregnant Iris and all of her like snacks and cravings, and like, our teacher Caesar needs a snack, and give me Cecile's passport, which you know, I know she had to say it because it was gross. Let's just assume that Cecilia is a good cook and that casserole is good. I like now, so like that there was something in here for Iris to bury as well, and like getting his dad's magazine cover from 40 years ago or whatever. That was really sweet. It didn't really seem to be like connected to anything else, just something sweet that she did for him. So that was really nice. I thought the inspectors were fun. I especially like the mole guy, because I have to say, like, it's not a joy that Barry had to reveal that he's a Flash, but it's not like a dislike either, because I feel like it made sense in this episode with it being a bottle and, you know, how they had to maneuver through it. You know, it was going to come out anyway. And then it wound up getting erased in the end, which I figured it would be. So it's fine. But I did like the mole guy. Ever since they found out, he's like, we're talking about Iris, like, Mrs. Flash? You think Mrs. Flash is a time thief? And all this kind of stuff. So I liked him. I liked the thing that he meant to me with the ladies like trying to explore Barry's biochemistry and Iris being like, excuse me. That was fun. I liked their conversation about, you know, being stuck in the past and racing towards the future and having like an honest conversation about the parents. I thought that was really sweet. And, you know, at the end when they're, you know, back on the couch and eating like their ice cream, that is just really like nice little domestic moments between the two of them. Allegra looked pretty. I guess you could say like at the scene at Jitters where he's like, let's stop thinking and start doing was good for them. Yeah, and then Keon was just Keon. But I don't really know what we needed that plot in this episode. She could have just like, they could have said that she's meeting Carla like off screen, and that would have been fine. But you know, she haven't. So that's that. What did not spark joy?
What did not spark joy? Indeed. I just think that generally speaking, I'm just so tired of interlude episodes, especially because they come one right after the other. They don't further the plot. And in this case, it was cute. Like, the moment that we got for West Allen was cute, but, like, it was also something that was created in the episode to be solved in the episode. It wasn't, like, an ongoing issue in their relationship or even in, like, Iris's life. She wasn't thinking about, like, her pregnancy before this episode and probably won't be next episode. So I was like, okay. So in that sense, I was like, okay. Also, the stakes are so low. Because like you said, the moment that the electrician came in and didn't know what the breaker box was, it was obviously not an electrician. So it would have been much more fun maybe if there was like a whole group situation that they were there for. Like, I don't know. Someone said like, oh, I thought they were time masters or whatever. Like, if the whole thing was a ploy and not just like one person, then you have to figure out who it was because it was so obvious who it was. But they were the best part of the episode. So I will move on from that and then say, I definitely thought that the reasoning Allegra gave for not being, for being afraid of saying I love you to Chester, while it made sense, was also silly because why are Nash and her cousin in the same box as Chester? Doesn't make any sense. If she had had a history, because then later she says she had a history of relationships going badly. So like if we had seen that in her romantic relationships, that would be clearer. Instead, it just seemed like a muddled reasoning in the story. Cecile needs to get a job and stop acting like she is 22. And Keon is the biggest problem because even though it's not her fault, it is ridiculous that nobody gives a crap that Caitlin is dead, including Caitlin's own mother, who just off screen hand waved that it was totally okay for Keon to be her new kind of daughter or maybe a friend, and she'll just show her the ropes and just not mourn her child on screen because that is irrelevant. And the 8 years that Caitlin spent on the show were also irrelevant. Thank you for proving that in the worst way. Yeah, that's all.
I have to say, like, when this episode was first announced, I think Eric did mention that it was gonna be like a fun murder mystery, and in my head I would have liked to have seen something a little bit different in terms of like the setting, because the Star Labs setting is like an actual murder. The Star Lab setting was just like this. The Speed Lab is just kind of like whatever. It's very dark in there. It would have been really fun if like Barry and Iris had been attending like a dinner party or something like that for Iris's job, and then like somebody actually dropped dead and they had to figure out what was going on. Like that would have been really fun. It would have put Iris's journalistic abilities and, you know, Barry being like fun husband sidekick or whatever to work. That would have been, I think, a superior setting. Not that I didn't enjoy this episode, but like it was very Star Labsy, and I'm kind of tired of that set in general. In terms of like Allegra and Chester, I just feel like their plot has just been going on for too long, and I feel very indifferent towards them in general. So it's not like I'm very invested in the big moments in the relationship. And I don't feel like we've been really getting to see them be in a relationship. We just sort of like hear about it every once in a while, or it's just like a start stop situation constantly. So it doesn't really feel like anything momentous is really happening with them. I do agree, like, this is the least offensive they've ever been. Not offensive, but like the least kind of like frustrating plot in terms of like why it's in there. I don't mind either character specifically. It's just that like the relationship doesn't necessarily need to have as much screen time as it does. And then Cecile kind of like being there when she doesn't need to be is very obnoxious, because it's like you could be visiting Joe, but here you are solving Allegra and Chester's problems and feeling their feelings when they probably don't want you to. And it's just like very invasive and awkward. And like, I felt really awkward on behalf of Chester feeling awkward. The whole thing was awkward. So I don't feel like it was necessary, but then again, my problem is just in general of their whole relationship kind of being shoehorned into a season, in a final season where we could be doing other more intriguing things. Keown, again, it's just a general problem in terms of like why her character is here. I feel like it's a waste of time, especially since we don't really see Carla on screen. We don't get to like hear about how she feels about Caitlin being dead and how Keown feels about the fact that she's there having to talk to her not mom and discussing a woman she never really knew. So it's just, it's just bizarre storytelling. And I feel like it's just a general issue with the show, because they decide to focus on things that I don't think matter and will probably not matter in the next 5 episodes when the world is going to shit. So I feel like we've had 3 interlude episodes, like Tati said, it's just the interlude storytelling. I don't mind filler episodes, but it still has to like feel relevant in terms of being sort of connected into like an overall plot or overall themes or something, because it feels like they're just sort of there and it does feel very disconnected. I feel like in the past they've had to have episodes that weren't directly, you know, plot focused, in terms of like the longer plots. It's like, oh yeah, we tried to find this person, we couldn't, so we're gonna do something else, and that's fine. But here it doesn't feel like that, because Red Death is completely over and there's no mystery or intrigue being planted for like what's potentially coming next. And if it's like a multiverse thing, then we could have gotten some clues as to what's gonna happen, so that it's not just, it doesn't just feel like it's coming out of nowhere in the next few episodes.
I am nodding my head.
Thank you.
I feel like I said, it was cute, but I agree that it would be cute for like in earlier seasons, not like in a final season, or not like the third filler or interlude app in a row or whatever.
And I like the plot was thin, so that it wasn't even really like an exciting murder mystery. It was like a, you know, those like little children's books, like that are in the waiting room at the dentist office, and you have to like find what's different or whatever. And it's like really easy. That's kind of like what this episode felt like to me. And I don't know. It was just kind of okay. It's like even like the Allegra plot with her being scared to fall in love, because like I said, like what is the alternative? Just never doing anything. And then like the examples she gave were Mesh and Esperanza, who were both not great people to begin with. And they kind of left, versus like a boyfriend. Like if it was like, you know, boyfriends that she had in the past, I don't know. I just don't know if it was like a...
Yeah, it didn't make sense. It didn't connect.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it equated on the level that they're trying to make it equate to. So that was a little bit, you know, weird. And then I definitely agree with like Carla, and the fact that all of that happened off screen with her meeting, because like you never really got to see Carla's reaction to not only she just had lost Frost, but then losing Caitlin, and now you have this new person, and we're supposed to be like, yeah, she's fine with it, and yeah, she wants to meet her. Like, what happened to, like, where is all of that? Like, and again, it goes to the fact that the show doesn't really seem to care about Caitlin. When Caitlin's been here since season one, like this, it just felt very blasé about like her passing, and that is including the fact that the only, you know, real other person, like family connection, Heather in her life, and we're getting all of her reactions to her daughter's death essentially like off screen. There's no, we don't even get the connection between the new Caitlin, essentially Keown, and her mom, that's also off screen. So it's just very weird, I think, how they're doing that. And I don't know where the end game is for that. Like, I think it was funny that Keown was like, well, I could have told you you had mold. And for some reason, they're like, how do you know that? I'm like, why do we have to keep pretending like we don't know that she can talk to plants and fungus and all this kind of stuff, or the major or whatever? Why are we dragging that out? But yeah, I'm not really sure where the end game is with her either. So it's just kind of, it ends kind of like on a meh kind of note for the episode, which I don't know. I mean, it's good to have, it's good that we're having like fun episodes, but yeah, if that's like a, you know, a sentiment that I can say that. Did we get any feedback from this episode?
We did. We got a few people, starting with Sonia. She says, hey, ladies, I really like this episode as it was nice to see Barry and Iris working together and some glimpses of the future with the Flash Museum. Apart from the Chilegra storyline, this was an amazing episode. I knew straight away that the electrician was the time thief when she referred to a breaker box as the thing with all the wires, even called it a breaking box after Iris said the right name. But it was still an interesting plot and very well done with the people getting turned to statues and whatnot. I loved Iris talking about the pregnancy and Barry being there for her and her constant obsession with food the entire episode. Within the Chilegra storyline, I thought the Scrabble slash the is not a word thing was funny, but honestly, how many times are we going to get a I don't know how to feel because everyone left me storyline with Allegra when it comes to her relationship with Chester? I feel like we've already had at least three like this. I also liked Cecile for once when she made Allegra see that it doesn't matter that everyone she said, I love you, to has left or died, or that it might not work out between her and Chester because she can't keep focusing on all the bad things that have happened to her in the past or all the ways things could go wrong in the future and to just focus on the now. Glad Allegra and Chester worked it out. so that we don't have to suffer through the storyline for any longer the same way their slow burn nearly killed me, but did not need that. I know the perfect way to help you work off that energy line near the end of the episode, because gross slash cringe, but also why do other characters always get innuendos and makeouts and Barry and Iris get so little? Also, speaking of the end of the episode, I thought the scene with Keone and West Allen was super cute, because the "Do I like cheese fries?" line was just so endearing. What is it about Keone? I don't know what it is about Keone, but Danielle P's acting is actually good for once. It was also hilarious how Keone was basically, "I need strong female role models and to eat dinner with them. So Iris, you up for it?" Showing that she considers Iris a role model, because yes, I agree. Can't believe we have to wait to the 26th for a new episode. But until next time. Thank you, Sonia. And we have Anita. "My feedback starts with the news. Give us the redacted spoiler about that final scene between Barry and Iris TV line. We need it for science." Yes, I agree. "I'm hoping that Wednesday Ever After and Partners in Time share a common thread leading to a big story with a big bad, like Iris suggested. At least that way we'll get a payoff for the third filler episode of a 13-episode season. The episode structure was perfect. Barry and Iris framed it. The useless side characters were kept to a minimum, and they only reappear for short wrap-ups. Although I could have done without any of Allegra's flashbacks. It wasn't that deep." Oh, the flashbacks. That's also not a joy for me.
Yes, the
flashbacks. The only flashbacks I thought that were like necessary and that I liked were the ones where Barry and Iris were talking about how so much happened, and we have this like flashback of all the stuff, all the shit that were happening in Star Labs.
Yeah.
I think those were necessary, but like the National Esperanza ones, they were not.
Yeah, like, and we had one flashback that was like literally 5 minutes ago in the episode. I'm like, we remember this. We were all here. Sad times. Let's see. "A Time Thief is a good story concept for The Flash, and wrapped in a whodunit makes it a little campy, which is fun. I wanted to tell Iris that no one in Star Wars wears those uniforms, sis." Stories include Iris protecting her food and giving the suspicious eye to Jane. Clearly, Iris needs to hide her husband, because word is starting to get around Central City and the ladies are catching feelings for Barry.
I liked that when they redid the whole introduction thing, so it was like, why do you have a speed lab? And Barry's like, because Marilyn, we just love The Flash. And Barry's like, he's so handsome.
That was very cute. What a nice guy. What a great dude.
Also, this scene with like where Iris is like, Barry's not even like a funny guy like ever. And he's like, what?
Yes.
Side note, The Flash seems to enjoy turning normal functional abilities into powers. Like, did we need Jane's excellent spatial retention to tell that the massive chiming antique clock in the state-of-the-art speed lab wasn't there before? That's just someone's memory after skipping the edibles with a Red Bull chaser and getting a good night's sleep. Dr. Tannhauser is better than me. I would not casually welcome the latest byproduct of my ex-husband's quasi-organic experiment when my own daughter was obliterated. If this had happened to Iris, I would ride at dawn. But as such, I disliked every iteration of Caitlin. The character and the actress were allowed to get away with undermining Iris Candace for 8 years in an integrated way. So suck it, crack shippers. For the love of all things holy, no one needs Cecile's empathy powers to read the tension between Chester and Allegra. Also, I don't need Chester and Allegra's start-stop relationship. And please give me a character whose response to losing people is to try really hard at relationships instead of being emotionally stunted. Also, Cecile's mind reading was intrusive. Adults are allowed the privacy of their confused, childish emotions. Anyway, what can they learn from a divorced woman estranged from her oldest daughter and who is working on failed family number two?
Rude.
My one prediction is that I expect to see that time magnet again as part of a bigger story. Lady with Gumption nominee, Iris for facing her fears about her changing body and cognition and then giving the Flash an assist to save the day. Thanks for the great job recapping, ladies, and happy Easter if you celebrate. Thank you so much, Anita. And then finally, we have KJ. Hello to all of you.
KJ! Flash
this week. Flash this week was an enjoyable yet frustrating episode. In a vacuum, this would be considered an enjoyable episode with time travel shenanigans not caused by Barry for once. The inspections never thought to come to the lab in 9 years. Of course, Barry revealed his identity to them, although it did work. Candace was very good in the pregnancy brain scene. The frustrating thing is that all these character beats from Barry and Iris have been a storyline in what feels like every single episode this season. We get it already. I was confused at such a short episode. The entire episode was Barry and Iris with little cameos from the rest of the characters. Don't get me wrong, I'm for it, but I'm surprised there wasn't a redundant, boring B-plot with Chester professing his love for Allegra or something. P.S. Can we erase the next episode out of the time stream before it airs? Oh, damn, KJ, damn. And that is it for feedback.
Very nice.
Lady with Gumption nominee?
Well, I mean, I guess that Lady Kronos had plenty of gumption.
She did. You know what? Yeah. What also about it is that she deserved 2020, like 21, 23, right? So she stole it. The last time that anybody inspected Star Labs was April 5th, 2023. Like, seriously?
I have to know now who can check the mold.
Like, what government agency is not, like, the first time when you're like, you haven't had inspection in 9 years, you don't think that they would be on every government agency list to have, like, regular inspections? Like, that's just, like, ridiculous. 100 years? That's insane. Anyways.
You're not wrong.
and the fact that they tell everybody, like, it's, like, right there, stamped on the wall for everyone to remember that the last time they checked the mold was 100 years ago. Yes, it's very sad. But Lady Kronos, and I will also give it to Iris for, like,
of course,
investigating and for overcoming her pregnancy fears.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. We love that. So, Iris can win, and Lady Kronos can be...
And yeah. Telling Chester she loves him.
Oh, no. Because she shouldn't have had those fears in the first place.
Right. I mean, like, maybe it was supposed to, like, parallel fears. Lost Allen, but I feel like if Allegra was more of an established character, I would be like, yes, overcoming your fears. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel that because, like, mentioning Nash and all this, I'm like, I don't know.
It was a weak reason. Mm-hmm. I think.
Agreed.
Yeah. So who are we nominated?
What?
Who are we nominated? Oh.
Oh, I guess Iris can win and Lady Kronos can be runner-up.
Okay.
Do we disagree? Do we want to switch it? Lady Kronos wins?
I mean, Lady Kronos did have a lot of gumption, but I just feel like she... failed at what she was really trying to do, ultimately.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's a hard one. But did Iris really have the gumption to do anything other than not live in that? I feel like you have to... I think we should give Lady Kronos for having the gumption to steal the time magnet in the first place.
All right. Lady Kronos can take it.
Iris for, you know... agreeing to live in the present.
If you feel that it's deserved.
It's probably the Irish one. She has so many chances to win. Like, let Lady Kronos have a break. She didn't get a time magnet. She's probably in jail. But at least she'll have Lady Kronos on the lead.
There you go.
So that is it for this week. Flash is going on a break until April 26th, so... we will have a bit of time to see you, but always if you are, oh my God, this is like 3 weeks, damn. But if you have, in the meantime, any feedback.
Ooh, she's cutting out.
Don't give it to us because Jessica won't be listening.
Jessica! Nope. Oh, wait until the end of the episode. Time.
Yep.
Jessica, okay. Come back.
Well then.
Okay, well, we will be here in a couple of weeks, so you can listen to us talk about The Flash again. In the meantime, you can send us your feedback to ladieswgumption@gmail.com, ladieswgumption.tumblr.com, or to Twitter at @DCTVGumption. Until next time, goodbye, everybody.
Bye.